In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, and welcome to a new week of Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And excited for today's show. We're talking about the unity of faith, word, and Eucharist. Right? And I want to talk about this because I was reading, which I do all the time. Like I said, I rarely watch TV. But I was reading De Trinitatis by St. Hilary. It's on the Holy Trinity. And there was a little section in there where he talks about this beautiful combination of word and sacrament and how that makes us one. And I thought, you know, a lot of things were going through my mind. Okay, we go to Mass, we receive God's word in the readings. And the priest or deacon breaks open the word of God for us in the homily. So we're fed and nurtured by the word. And then we're fed and nurtured by Christ himself in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, divinity. So we're fed twice and nourished twice at every Mass. And then we leave. Okay, so I'm thinking, what is the true impact of that unity? Right? Because it's the Eucharist that makes us one. And the other thing I was thinking of, you know, when we leave, okay, we just received Christ, the word and sacrament. We're united with him. What do we do now? Like, okay, let's go to IHOP or let's go to, you know, wherever for brunch, and then we go back into our lives. But have we really thought about how that word and uniting ourselves with Christ, that sacrament, has impacted us? You know, what do we do with that grace that we've just received? That's what I want to talk almost like the transforming power of the Eucharist, how the Eucharist makes us one, and that's what makes me one with all of the other people I'm worshiping with at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That what makes us one. That's what unites us as Catholics, is the Eucharist. And sadly, I mean this sincerely, sadly, why other brothers and sisters who are followers of Christ cannot receive the Eucharist. Because firstly, they don't believe that's really Christ. It's the Eucharist is the deepest form of intimacy we can have with God on earth. So if they don't believe that that's Christ, then it really, you know, it's actually doing them a disservice. They'd be lying to themselves if they received the Eucharist because they don't believe it, you know? So there's so much I was thinking about with this. And I just wanted to chat about this today and really connect it to how does the Eucharist unite us, me, you, all of you are listening or watching right now. How does that really, yes, it makes us one, we all receive, but how does it really make us? What does that actually mean? And then once we're empowered by the Eucharist, we go out to the world to do what? I mean, what do we actually do with it? Do we sit on it? Do we just go back to our jobs and not think about God again until next Sunday? You know, and St. Hilary shared some beautiful reflections. And I just wanted to talk about that and hear from you how that the oneness of word and sacrament really has impacted your life. How do you actually live that out? You know, how does that unity call us to be more and to do more, to really witness to the power of Christ? That's what I want to talk about today on Beacon of Truth. You want to be part of the program? We'd love to hear from you. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Or you can also send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com, or you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response and text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And today is also the memorial of Our Lady of Fatima. Now, some people may be asking, well, wait a minute. Fatima is an approved apparition of the church. It's one of the greatest Marian apparitions of all time. Why doesn't that get more attention in the church? Like, why? It's considered an optional memorial, not even an obligatory memorial, just an optional memorial. How could an apparition that's so awesome not get more attention in the church? That is a great question. Here's the answer. has nothing to do with, well, Mary's less or she's not as important in this apparition. That has nothing to do with it. It's a private revelation. That's the key. Now, remember, private revelations are just that, private. And even though it's approved by the church, just like Lourdes and just like a number of others, they are still, in the end, private revelation. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary is not private revelation, right? That's not a private revelation. So that gets a much higher sense. The Assumption of the Blessed, that's not a private revelation. The Visitation, that's not a private revelation. So those receive a higher level of celebration in the church as feasts or solemnities. But Fatima and Lourdes and Our Lady of Sorrows, as beautiful as those are still private revelations or devotionals and not required for belief. All right. So, I love the church. The church allows us to celebrate these things with higher solemnity. So for myself, I'm treating today as an obligatory memorial. So there's certain prayers that I'm saying from the breviary, from the common of the Blessed Virgin Mary, to give our, because I love her so much and I feel so connected to her that I want to, that when I'm praying this office, I want to raise it to a higher level. So I'm treating today like an obligatory memorial. So I hope that you're, of course, you're praying your rosary today too. I hope everybody did that today for sure. And so what are we to think about? I just want to share just a brief reflection today. So in thinking about what's going on, especially with our young adults today, you know, when they're asked, and I think I heard Bishop Barron talking about this. When young people are asked, like, college age to early 30s, you know, at young adult age, what do you need from the church? Like, what do you need? They're telling us they need a sense of community. So today we're talking about, right, oneness, how word and sacraments actually make us one. And what does that impel us to do? It builds community. So young people saying they need a sense of community. So to me, that says they need more Eucharist, right? They need that deeper connection of word and sacrament. Second thing they say, so sense of community, they want to hear the truth, right? Which is why Beacon of Truth, that's why we're here, to share the truth of our Catholic faith in love. Because truth ultimately is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, so sense of community, they want to hear the truth. And third, they want to hear other Catholics' personal encounters with Jesus. You see the story. Now, if you look at what we're trying to do here on Beacon of Truth, I think we're accomplishing all three of these things. Building a sense of community, hearing the truth, because the truth is in the title of the show. And then other Catholics' personal encounters with Jesus. So we take the calls and we hear amazing testimonies of how Christ is working in people's lives. See, that impels others and raises their faith and gives them confidence to live their Catholic faith with passion and conviction. You know, so why is this their experience? Why do they feel they need a sense of community and truth and account and other people's encounters? Because we're still living in silos when it comes to experiencing our faith as Catholics. Let's be real. We're still living in silos where this idea of a personal encounter with Jesus means keeping my faith to myself. That's quote unquote Protestant when people go out there and share their faith. And this is why so many Catholics are simply fans of Jesus and not followers. See, this was not the mindset of the first Christians, right? Who are, as we've been hearing, right? During Easter, we were hearing a lot from the Acts of the Apostles. We're hearing how the apostles and the early followers proclaimed Jesus Christ, how they preached the word, how they remained faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart. Because they were not afraid to tell people about Jesus and to share the truth of the faith and love. And as a result, Acts of the Apostles tells us a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Well, today, as we celebrate Our Lady of Fatima, and like all approved apparitions of the Blessed Mother, Mary leads us to Jesus. She leads the faithful closer to her son, Jesus Christ. Our Lord states clearly and unambiguously that he is one with God right? And in John's gospel, he talks about this is testified to by the works that he does in the Father's name. Yet we would not believe him, but the followers would not believe him because they were not among my sheep, says the Lord. So they heard the word, but that word didn't take root in them. See, and it's such a beautiful connection, what I want to talk about today. So the word that we hear, the Eucharist that we receive, how does that change us, right? Given Our Lady of Fatima. So, excited about today's show today. So we're talking about the unity of faith, word, and Eucharist. You want to be part of the program today? Would love to hear from you. The phone number is 833-288-3986. Yeah.
Can you pick that chord progression out?
It sounds like it's not a 1-4-5, it's like a 1-5 something.
Yeah. It's always, once you know the key, then you can play it any, just put the Nashville number system in, you're ready
yeah.
to roll.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's cool, man.
It's good stuff.
Great way to start a Monday off. Love it.
Well, and I wanted to add to your point of contingents of people wanting to feel more connected within the church. After decades of doing church plant, all of those are the same across any denomination, anywhere anybody is, no matter what city that I've been in. Those have always been the points people want to hear the realness. They want to hear and know that they have community and that they're not alone. All of those things are the building blocks of why they come to church. So I love that we're tackling this today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're listening to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And today we're talking about the unity of faith, word, and Eucharist. And you heard me talk about how young people, when they're surveyed college age to the early 30s, you know, they want to have a sense of community, want to hear the truth, and they want to hear about others' personal encounters with Jesus, which is exactly what we're doing on this show. But how can we take what we receive in the Mass and bring that more deeply to the world? Would love to hear from you to talk about how the Eucharist, the Word and Sacrament, not only unites us, but also impels us to go forward to share that word with others. Mm. And I'm going to share some reflections on by St. Hilary. It's De Trinitatis, a document he wrote called On the Trinity. But we'd love to hear from you today. Great, great topic. 833-288-3986. The number for you to join us today, 833-288-3986. And remember, this segment is called The Soulful Psalms, and now they're their own podcast. You can go to EWTN Podcast Central, and you can download, subscribe, or on even better, on the EWTN app, which I use, to hear The Soulful Psalms. Or you can go to your favorite app, music applications like iTunes or SoundCloud or Spotify or one of those, and hear all of these segments on the Psalms as their own podcast. You know, and one of the things I love about EWTN, we talk about building community. Well, we have a great community of people working behind the scenes to bring you this show every day. We have Matt Kabinski screening the calls, Charles Berry doing social media, and the producer who's number one in my heart, Ace McKay.
Well, as we build community from Rome to home, we're doing it with the Vatican Bureau as well. You can get access to this. Easy to sign up and easy to find us. All you have to do is watch live EWTN YouTube. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to get the latest.
All right. Well, a new week of Soulful Psalms today. And we're looking at Psalm 61. Psalm 61. So Psalm 61 is in Book 2 of the Psalms, Psalms 42 to 72. And of those Psalms, Psalm 61 falls within Psalms 51 to 72, which are written by David. So naturally, this Psalm is going to be attributed to him. And so grab your Bibles, open up the Psalm 60, if you're able to, if you're driving, or that's cool, just listen. It's all good. So the prescript of this Psalm is the entire first verse of the Psalm. Very simple. For the choir master with stringed instruments of David. All right, so David wrote the psalm, gave it to the choir master to put music to. And David also adds with stringed instruments. So he wrote this psalm and he was hearing it with strings. Remember last week there was a psalm that said with flutes, right? Or sometimes they may even put specific instrumentation in the psalm as well. You know, on the gittith, for example, gittith is an ancient lap harp of Goth. You know, so he's on the guitar. So he has specific instrumentation in his head for this particular psalm. And so the psalm begins in the verses in Psalm 2. Listen, O God, to my cry. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call you. My heart is faint. All right, so again, you see some of the recurring themes and patterns in some of the songs. Some of these psalms. David here is feeling distant from the Lord, right? From the end of the earth, I call you. You know, not from the feeling close to your heart, Lord, but I'm feeling kind of distant from you right now. He says his heart is faint, right? So the heart, again, is leb in Hebrew. It's not just the organ that pumps blood through the body, but the heart is the seat of the will. The heart is the place where your desire for God lives inside of you. So he's feeling like faint. So that closeness of heart, he's feeling distant. He's feeling separate. And we don't know what causes this. But look, we've all been there ourselves. We've all felt at some point in our life this distance from God. Maybe because we're steeped in sin. Maybe because of a tragic event in our family or in the life of someone that we love that makes us feel a little distant from God. And in that moment, David realizes his distance and calls out to the Lord. Cries out to the Lord, you know, hear my prayer, attend to my voice, Lord. And he continues, set me high upon the rock, too high for me to reach. You, my refuge and mighty tower against the foe. So it's almost like he wants to take him out from the depths of his sadness, the depths of his mystery, and raise him up. Because we just, you know, celebrated the ascension, right? He wants him to raise him up and set him on the rock, set him on a firm foundation. Because right now, whatever's going on in his life, he's not feeling firm. He's not feeling safe. He's not feeling set and secure in his relationship with the Lord. So what does he do? See, when that happens to us, and look, we've all been there. We have two choices. When we're in that situation, we can walk away or trust in the world, the finances for us, or we could do what David did. Ask the God to reach down into the depths and to raise him up to the heights, to set him on the rock, too high for me to reach. So Lord, put me in your realm. Even, you know, it's too high for me to reach, too high for anything earthly to grab me and to drag me back down. Put me up so high, Lord, that I can't even reach there with my own hands. Why? Because it's not me lifting myself up, it's you lifting me up, Lord. You're the one that's raising me up. You know, so he's asking for the Lord for that divine assistance. Right in Psalm 70, oh God, come to my assistance. Oh Lord, make haste to help me. Right, which is the opening of our Liturgy of the Hours that we pray. David continues in verse 5. Then I will dwell in your tent forever and hide in the shelter of your wings. You see, so David's already anticipating. Lord, I know that when you lift me up, when you raise me up, I'm going to feel safe in your tent. Because now, see, David started off, I'm distant from you. My heart is faint, ends of the earth. Now he's in the tent with God. Now he's close to God. Now he's at home with God, right? Now he's feeling more one with God. Hide me in the shelter of your wings, just like an eagle. Right? Or any kind of those birds, they put their wings around their little chicks, right? They put their wings around to protect them, right? David wants to feel that loving protection that flows from God's heart. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Again, Yahweh, honor, reverence, and respect your name. You know, you have heard my vows. See, This is so important. I was just talking to my wife about this the other day, actually, about vows, because, you know, we have our 30, we're getting ready to take our 30th wedding anniversary trip. And we were talking about vows, and I told her how seriously I take vows, like, you know, my vows for ordination, my vows at marriage, you know, because I made those vows with God. I mean, with her, of course, and with the church, with ordination, but that was rooted in a deep, intimate relationship with God. And David is calling upon God to help him restore the depth of that relationship by bringing him close to his heart in his tent and being sheltered by his wings.
Well, and also it's easy to think about vows as just words, but really it is also an extension of our character. So when you take those vows, you are saying, I'm committing to XYZ because of who I am as a man, who I am as a woman, who I am as a follower of Christ. And so when we break those vows, that's when our character gets in question. And to me, when someone questions your character and your reputation is on the line or it's been tainted because you've broken those vows, it's easy for people to think, they'll just always be that way. Not realizing that God is still in us working to show us, hey, because you did this or because you went in this direction instead of this direction, this is why you have to get out of this now. I'm taking you through and to something.
Right, and exactly. And that's why these vows should last a lifetime.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, marriage vows last until somebody dies. Right?
Yep.
The vows that at least our parents and godparents make for us on behalf of us at baptism, or if we're adults, we made them ourselves, we came into the church. Those are still vows. Those are promises. When I was ordained, there was vows and promises that I made before God there, you know, and those last for my entire life. In fact, baptism, confirmation, and then myself and priests and deacons that are ordained, you know, those are leaves indelible marks. That there's in fact, that's the word that we use, Ace. I love the character. Mm-hmm. We call it an indelible mark, or it's an ontological change that changes the character of the person.
Right.
Right. So that's something really, really important. That's why vows are important. And I love that David includes here about his vows. You've heard my vows. So Lord, even though I am in the midst of affliction, even though I'm feeling distant from you, you heard my vows. That means I'm still committed to you, Lord. Right? I still want you as the focus and the center of my heart. Absolutely beautiful. And then David, the last few verses here, verses 7 to 9. Day upon day, you will add to the king his years as age upon age. Right? So every day as we're walking in the Lord, you know, day goes after day, week goes after week, years goes after year. And during all that time, you know, the Lord is adding, because every day is a gift. Every day we wake up. Again, that's why I wake up every single morning, including this morning. Lord, thank you for allowing me to see the light of another day so that I may give honor, praise, and glory to your most holy name. Right? Because we don't know how long we have on this earth. You know, God's in charge of life. He could take that life. He's the one that created life. He could take that life back to himself whenever he wants. So, you know, we're never guaranteed tomorrow, but we have to live every day like we're going to die. You know what I mean? So we have to live every day as if today's the last day. And that's why when I'm preaching and when I'm speaking, I don't take it for granted. Because I treat every single homily, every single engagement like it's the last one I'm ever going to do. And then it ends, may he sit enthroned before God, bid mercy and truth be his protection. So I will sing to your name forever and day after day fulfill my vows. All right, 833-288-3986. Yeah, I like that.
There's a element of strings in disco that is underappreciated. I'm just going to say that out loud.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's always about the bass, or it's always the guitar riff, but the strings are there for a reason.
Yeah, that's it. I love it. Yeah, the strings to me add the depth. I mean, that's what I'm a sucker for strings. I love the depth that strings bring. I totally agree with you. Very much underappreciated. So I'm glad you're bringing that to the fore, Ace.
We're on the dance floor. Come on now.
Awesome. Where you listen to Beacon of Truth, I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Well, today on this celebration of Our Lady of Fatima, we're talking about the unity of faith, the relationship between word and sacrament, how we receive our Lord Jesus Christ in word and in sacrament, the Eucharist, that then impels us to go forth and do what? I mean, you say, well, yeah, the Eucharist makes us one, but okay, well, what does that actually mean? I mean, how do we make that real and concrete in our lives every day? That's what we're talking about. Would love to hear from you, to hear how word and sacrament becomes real in your life every day. And why are we talking about this? Because young people need a sense of community. They need to hear the truth and need to hear how other people's encounters with Christ is life changing. And so we're doing that. And we're able to do that because we have some great people working, like Matt Gabinski screening calls and Charles Beery doing social media and producing. As always, for our show is Ace McKay.
Well, one of the reasons we like to celebrate is because this Catholic Radio Network continues to grow. Now based in Kansas City, 20 stations, 3 states, and celebrating 20 years with the EWTN family. So a big high five to Jim, Carol, and the whole team at Catholic Radio Network from your friends here at EWTN Radio.
All right. Congratulations. And keep it going. You know, we got to spread this word as far and as wide as possible. Thanks be to God. So, again, the source of my reflection today was St. Hilary's De Trinitatis on the Trinity. I just want to read you a little bit, and then I'll start going to some calls here. But it says, we believe that the Word became flesh and that we receive his flesh in the Lord's Supper. How, then, can we fail to believe that he really dwells within us? When he became man, he actually clothed himself in our flesh, uniting it to himself forever, right? So let's pause here for a second. So the uniting of the divine nature of God and the human nature, right, in Christ, it was called the hypostatic union. So it's human nature, his divine nature together, united, without any confusion, change, separation, or division. And this unity is something that will happen, that happens forever. It is not going to be split again, right? And in the sacrament of his body, St. Hilary continues, he actually gives us his own flesh, which he has united to his divinity. That is why we are all one. Because the Father is in Christ, and Christ is in us. He is in us through his flesh, and we are in him. With him, we form a unity which is in God. Man, when I read that, that drove me to adoration. I said, I just got to go in adoration and just reflect on this. What does this mean? And then also my heart came, I want to talk about this on the show. I want to hear people's experience of how the Eucharist makes them one. And what does the Eucharist impel us to do? Yes, it makes us one with all the people worshiping around us, with all the Catholics around the world. Then we can't stay in church. We have to leave and go back out in the world. And sometimes the Eucharist strengthens us to do what? To do what does the Eucharist impel you to do? Sometimes they're the hard things in life. Sometimes it's dealing with trials we have to with every day. Sometimes it calls us to share our faith and love. Would love to hear from you today. We're talking about the unity of faith, word, and Eucharist. The phone number to join us is 833-288-3986. Once again, that's 833-288-3986. Just like Kathy has done, calling us from Paris, California. Not Paris, France. Paris, California. She's listening on Sirius XM 130. Kathy, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi there. Thank you. I just wanted to share with you that I've raised a big family with my husband, with God's help, homeschooled, and I found my strength and my ability to keep doing it in spite of my own weaknesses by receiving our Lord, first going to confession, then receiving Him in the Eucharist. And now that they're all raised, I have a special needs daughter that she suffers from a lot of mental illness and is very, very prone to anger. And I find that through receiving our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, I have the strength to face what I go through each day with her and be more patient. And I go to daily Mass as often as I can, finding extra graces, extra strength. But I literally listen to the gospel and use those words to encourage me as I live my week. And then as it gets tougher and tougher, I just ask God, help me. You're inside me. Help me to remember that you're inside her and to be patient with her. And as I had about a week ago, I had a relative come to my home, my husband's relative, and she was mentioning how tired she is and how she's ready to pass from this life, but that she's not ready to go. She's made bad decisions, so she doesn't want a funeral. And as soon as I heard that, I said, no, no, you want a funeral. And if you can't afford a funeral, at least a Mass, and I will have a Mass said for you. But I think the Holy Spirit guides me to speak up when the world says, no, be quiet and listen to this person. Just listen. No, the Holy Spirit's in there and telling me, go forward and speak the truth and let it settle in her heart. And it did. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Oh, Kathy, thank you so much. What a powerful witness. See, this is why I love doing this show. Again, the young people are asking, what the church is asking young people, what do you need from the church? What do you need? And they're saying we need a sense of community, which is what the Eucharist and the Word does, helps build community, that impels us to do what? To go out and speak the truth in love, to witness to our faith. And then they also want other Catholics' personal encounters with Jesus. And so, Kathy, you know, you share with us that beautiful encounter of how the Eucharist impels you to go forward. In fact, you said it helps you. You recognize Christ in yourself, and then helps you to see Christ in others, especially with your special needs daughter, who we will continue to pray for, of course. And it actually reminded me of the psalm that we just reflected on, Psalm 61, where David says, pull me out, Lord. Pull me out from the depths, from this distance from you. Pull me closer to yourself. And that's what happens in Word and Sacrament. Right, Christ draws us and brings us closer to His most sacred heart. Right, and then today is also Our Lady of Fatima. Mary always brings us closer to Jesus. So we have these hands reaching down into our lives and pulling us up, because we have a community that's behind us. We don't stand alone. We have a community of faith behind us. So Kathy, wow, thank you so much. We're all so rich and blessed by you sharing the witness of how Word and Sacrament has empowered you to help take care of your daughter. And again, causes to do the hard things in life, things that the culture wants to turn their back to. You know, you say, no, let's go forward. That's what they did in the early church, and we're still doing that today. So grateful for Kathy. And we also want to hear from you. How does Word and Eucharist that builds a community, that helps us speak the truth, of what does that empower you to do? How are you living Word and Sacrament in your life every day? Maybe you want to share how it's called you to come out outside of yourself, to share your faith in a more powerful way. It maybe called you to stand up for the truth of your faith when you were afraid. You know, that's what we want to hear from you today. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. You know, St. Hilary continues his reflection. He says, the manner of our indwelling in him. So again, we're very mindful of 1 John 4:16, God is love, and he who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. So that's that indwelling that St. Hilary is talking about. So he says, the manner of our indwelling in him through the sacrament of his body and blood is evident from the Lord's own words. This world will see me no longer, but you shall see me. Ah, so seeing the Lord is not just with our eyes, but with the eyes of our hearts, with faith. We don't just remember the woman who touched Jesus, the woman with the flow of blood touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. She didn't have to touch him. She didn't even ask him. She didn't even say anything. She just touched him, right? And so the same thing here. You know, even though you the world no longer sees me, but you shall see me. We see him in the Eucharist. We see him alive in our brothers and sisters. We see this, for example, St. Teresa of Calcutta. Oh, she's such a beautiful example of seeing God's presence, God's life, in every single person standing in front of her. And St. Hilary continues, because I live, oh, he's continuing with the words of Jesus, because I live, you shall live also, for I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. This beautiful participation in the life of God. That's what the word and sacrament, that's what the Eucharist impels us to do. Would love to hear from you how word and sacrament has built community and unites us with Christ, builds a community of faith, but then impels us to do what? That's what we want to hear from you today. What does word and sacrament, uniting yourself in this life of the Trinity, the life of God, what has this called you to do? You know, we had a beautiful call from Kathy, how this helps us, this helps her to take care of her special needs daughter. What has this done for you? Would love to hear from you today. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. On YouTube, this gal, Sal, very creative, says that, Deacon Harold, you have inspired me to share my personal encounter with Jesus and Mary. It has been on my heart for a while. You know, I'm so grateful for that, this gal, Sal, because that's what they did in the early church. You know, they we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that when we meet together, is it not the Lord's Supper that we eat? So they celebrated those early Eucharistic celebrations in people's homes or in the catacombs. And then they received, and then we hear in paragraph 1345 of the Catechism, a partial letter from St. Justin Martyr to the Emperor Antoninus Pius that explains what Christians do when they come together and celebrate. He says they hear the writings of the apostles and the prophets. Right? So they hear the Old Testament and the New Testament. They receive the word, and then they receive the Eucharist. And then what did that do? They couldn't keep the faith to themselves. That receiving Christ in word and sacrament impelled them. Living in the life of God within himself impelled them to go out and witness and to share that with others. So we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. The unity of faith, how the Eucharist in word and sacrament makes us one, and then impels us to go forward to do what? How does that happen in your life? What does word and sacrament impel us to do every single day? Want to hear from you. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986.
And you know, the thing to really stop making excuses about why we're not in church or why we're not active in our, you know, mass communities or whatever is, we tend to say, well, they won't understand what I've been through. Well, it's those of us that know we're supposed to share our stories and how God has worked in our lives and restoration and healing that then people go, oh, well, maybe you do understand. Maybe God understands. Maybe it's not just, you know, some hocus pocus something. It really is something that's happening in droves every day. It's when we keep it to ourselves. Like, everybody's easy to talk about the miracles, right? But they don't want to talk about the junk they did to get to the miracle. Look what God did for me. No, look what he brought you out of. I'll quickly talk about those things, you know, just because I know that I couldn't be where I am if it wasn't for him.
Well, that's so true. When people ask you, how'd you get to be like that? Because you weren't always like that, right? What happened? Ah, that's the key. That encounter, that moment of encounter. How did that happen for you? Now, for us as Catholics, that happens, supposed to happen every time we go to Mass and receive Jesus Christ, the Word and Sacrament. That's the encounter.
Yep.
But it's just like anything else. You have to go in with the right mindset and disposition and intention. You know, your heart has to be open to receive everything God wants to give you, or else it's just going to sit there, right? And it's not going to bring life. It's not going to bring power and witness to this hurting, confused, and broken world that needs that witness of Christ so powerfully.
Yeah. Well, and also, it always bears repeating, it's not always about the amazing grace moments. It's about the sustaining grace. It goes back to our discussion on character. You sustain the grace every day because of the character of Christ in you.
Yes.
So that within itself is a huge testimony. Don't ever stop letting that hey, I'm struggling with this, but I keep pressing on. I'm leaning into God for this and for that. Like, people need to see us living those action points out so they know how to then apply them into their own lives.
See, and that's the thing. God gives us what we need. He gives us the grace, but then we have to do something with it.
Exactly.
Right? We have to do something with it. And that's what we're talking about today. We want to hear from you. What do you do with the grace that God has given you in Word and Sacrament that builds community, that calls us to speak the truth, that calls us to share our personal encounters of Jesus with others? We want to hear how God does that in your life. Phone number to call today is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Or you can send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Or even now you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response. Then text us your first name and your brief question. Remember, message and data rates may apply. You know, St. Hilary goes on to say, this is how we attain to unity with the Father. Christ is in very truth in the Father by his eternal generation. And we are very truth in truth in Christ. And he is likewise in us. It's a beautiful relationship. What does it mean that Christ is in me? You know, we receive the Eucharist because Christ is in me. And we're talking about today, what does that call us to do? You know, and Jesus brings the reality of this unity when he said, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I in him. Right? So no one will be in Christ unless Christ himself has been in him. And Christ will take to himself only the flesh of those who have received his flesh, St. Hilary says. Wow, that's powerful. I love the witness of the saints. See, and this is how St. Hilary is living this out. He's received Christ in Word and Sacrament, and how God has called him to witness to the power of his love working in his life is through his writings, right? The writings of St. Hilary, very powerful. And so we're talking about what does that look like in your life, receiving Christ in Word and Sacrament that impels you to go and do what? How do you witness to your faith? How does recognizing that we have Christ's life literally in us, can we see Christ in other people? Has it, as Ace and I have been talking about, what does it do to your character? Does it change your mindset? Do you approach life differently? Do you think about things differently? Do you act differently, knowing that Christ's living presence is in you through his Word and his Sacrament? Talk about the unity of faith today. Would love to hear from you. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Once again, that's 833-288-3986. You know, and I'm thinking about Our Lady of Fatima, you know, and her appearance to the children. Because what is she? She wants them to help spread the message of love and unity in Christ. And oh, and if anybody knows about unity in Christ and Christ living in them, it's the Blessed Mother. She literally had God in her. I mean, imagine that. So, and that's what makes the Eucharist so powerful, huh? When we receive the Eucharist, I mean, for the time that the Eucharist exists before it breaks down in our system, in a sense, we're pregnant with God. Right? In that kind of sense, we're the church, which is the bride of Christ, in a sense, we're pregnant with God when we receive the Eucharist. Body, blood, soul, divinity. It builds that oneness in Christ, that wonderful relationship of intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion, which calls us to go forward and to witness the power of God's love to the world. Right? I mean, that's what we're talking about today. How does that happen in your life? Share it with us. Don't be afraid to hold back. Maybe you're like thinking right now, I'm not sure if I want to share this, you know, but maybe God is calling you to. And this, again, you heard, this is what young people need from the church: to hear truth, to have a sense of community, and to hear personal encounters with Jesus. That's what we're talking about today. The phone number to call to be with us on Beacon of Truth is 833-288-3986. Once again, that's 833-288-3986. You know, and St. Hilary, as he continues his reflections, just very, very beautiful. And he continues, again, reflecting on the words of Jesus, right? Because Jesus is God. As the living Father sent me, and I draw life from the Father, so he who eats my flesh will draw life from me. Right? Beautiful. Well, now we're going to hear from Mel, calling in Louisiana, one of my favorite places to travel to. Not because of just the faith, because of the food and everything, the music and everything else is just so awesome. And Mel's listening on Catholic Community Media. Mel, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Good afternoon. I heard Gal Sal, so I will be Mel from the Well.
I love it. I love it. Excellent. What would you like to share with us today, Mel?
So my story basically is I'm 62. I just turned 62. And when I was a teenager, I had troubled situations, and I had an abortion as a young teenager. And I didn't have a connection with the Lord back then. I was away from my faith, even though I was born a Catholic and baptized into Catholicism. And I had a wonderful Catholic upbringing. I strayed away from the Lord. So many years I was just kind of out of the loop. Well, as I turned into my 50s, the Lord, I came in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and the Lord just opened my eyes, my heart, my mind into seeing who I really was, and what had happened in my past was not who I was and who I am, because he says, you know, I say who you are, and it's identity in Christ. So in the past 10 years, since my early 50s, I've had a beautiful change turning back to the Lord, joining many ministries, having many soul sisters in Christ. I'm involved in the Charismatic Renewal down here, and I'm involved in different ministries at different churches and parishes. So because of sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and because of just being that quiet person in adoration, which I have come to love and go to very frequently, the Lord has just blessed me in so many ways, and I'm so grateful. And that has brought me into many different communities, one being the Marian Servants, which is a community of unity of women in itself.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. I love that, Mel. Thank you so much for sharing that witness, how God has brought you out from the darkness into his beautiful light, and how receiving the Eucharist has really helped to build a sense of community that has now impelled you to go forward and be a witness to yourself, to others. I love that. That is so awesome. Let's see. It says, Joseph in Cleveland, listening, YouTube, listening on The Rock, called and said, I have mental illness and my week goes better when I receive the Eucharist. I love that. That's awesome. And you know, and look, this is not just like a some kind of magic trick thing. I mean, yes, I'm sure that I'm sure that Joseph is also going to counseling. I'm sure he's taking medications, but he's not forgetting that spiritual component, right? That Christ is a part of our life, that Christ is a part of our situation and our lived experience, and that we have to incorporate him in everything that we're doing for our mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. It's a holistic approach to the faith. I love that. All right. Well, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. Tomorrow, we're going to take a look at betrayal. What do you do when you have been betrayed, especially by someone that you love? And don't forget to listen to the Soulful Psalms of their own podcast. And may Almighty God bless you, keep you, protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.